Are we not blessed as a nation? God does so many things to make our lives complete. He touches us in ways that we cannot even begin to number. But one of the drawbacks of that very thing is our ability to recall all those things. Now, God does so many things for us, it's like, how do you keep up with it? We don't. Every day that we take a breath, that's God provided. Every day that we are able to go to work, God provided. Fellowship with friends, God provided. All of these things, we long and we acknowledge them. But sometimes we forget. And this morning, I'd like to speak to that right there. Just simply, lest we forget. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses is laying out before all the children of Israel. The wandering is done. All the things that are taking place of, and now they're getting ready for the promised land. And he says, all the commandments which I have commanded thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. He gave it to the fathers, but they forgot God, and therefore they would never inherit. They were left out. They didn't get in because they refused to acknowledge God. I hope that's not going to be the testimony of America. We have not honored God. We have forgotten God. He goes on in the second verse and says, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee known that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Moses is making it very clear. Only person I'm trying to honor is him. I'm just honoring God. I'm honoring the one that does so much and keeps us. Jump over to verse number 10. Then thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. One of the great issues of the Christian church today is that we have locked in on salvation. We have said that this is something that God has given us and he loves us and his mercy will endure forever. But how many people really spend the time to honor God in all things? He makes it clear way back then, there wasn't a God that walked before them as there is today. There wasn't a God that offered salvation, his very blood on the cross, as it was in that day. But Moses was the leader, and he makes it very clear to him, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. How do you not forget? Well, by keeping his commandments, by watching over the judgments that he has already said, by the very statutes that God has laid out. These are the principles. But how soon do we forget those things? How soon have we forgotten the last time God blessed your life? You say, well, I got a hard life. Well, join the club. All of us could say that. Every one of us could say that when we focus on ourselves, we can say that we have a hard life. You know, but in reality, if you look around, it's not so bad. You see people that are far worse off than you are. Do we forget? Yeah, we do forget. We forget when we wrap ourselves up in our own personal lives. How soon they forgot. That's not a proverb. That's simply a historical sketch. Many of you guys out here, maybe some of you ladies, you're sports fans, right? You like sports? Boy, you guys are terrible. Man, am I the only sports nut in this place?
You know I like sports. Keep it going.
Okay. Baylor sports? Yeah. You could name Drew Scott because he's the last one to win a title. Yeah. But do you remember sportsmen and women?
the coach that coached the last Super Bowl? Who won the NBA championship last year? You have no idea. Okay. And it's not important, is it? It's not important because we don't remember. Unless it was your favorite team. Then you always remember those kind of things. Children forget what their parents have sacrificed for them. They forget. They think it's always something you can just do every day. Give them this, give them that. They don't count. It does not reason with them that you go to work every day, that you make enough money to go do those fun things. And how many times have I watched students forget who it was that taught them? Students are real good at that. They forget that they learned something, and they think all of a sudden, I'm the only one that had it. You know, it's dawned with me. I created it. No, you learned it from your teachers. Do you acknowledge that teacher? You see, we all suffer some kind of amnesia. Every one of us have those things, whether it's names or dates or you know, places that we've been or events that took place. And that's sad, but get old and you'll figure all that out yourself. We just forget. You know, you put me on the spot. They did that last night and we had to come up with a name. I couldn't come up with that name. And now, if I wasn't thinking about that, yeah, I could come up with a name real easy. But when it's placed right there. So you see, we all have somewhat of that, of forgetfulness. But aren't we glad that it's not very important until it comes down to spiritual things? Then it's extremely important. We forget what God has done for us. In the spiritual realm, forgetting is serious. It is something we must deal with every day. Deuteronomy, Moses is giving his final warnings to the children of Israel. Look, you've wandered for 40 blasted years, for crying out loud. Can't you get it right yet? I think that's a good statement. Haven't you got it down yet? How many years have we been in this world and we still forget God? They had 40 years to wander in the wilderness. Aren't you glad God did not do that to you? And even at the end of the 40 years, at the moment they're going to cross in, they're already talking about all the affluence that they have, all these kingdoms bow down, all these things will take place, but yet they've forgotten God. It's a warning. It's a warning to say that we need to always remember God's past acts. But we also need to remember, what is God doing today? What does my promise look like? What does the future look like? It's all in God's hands, every bit of that. It's God that sustains us. It's God that keeps us. It's God that does everything for us. I have nothing outside of God. You say, well, we got a nice place and all this kind of stuff. It could be, boom, it'd be gone. If God chose to do that. If God chose to do something. Why does he always do things like something like that? To get our attention, to speak to us again, to say, have you forgotten me? And it's pretty easy, you know. We always talk about how bad life is and all the stuff like that. You know when we forget the most? It's when we have the most. We do. We forget. We just simply forget. Everything is good. We forgot how we got it. And that's really what God is really saying to us. All the life that I see right here in front of me, God has blessed. Every one of you. You can tell me how bad it's been about all this kind of stuff, but I want to say to you, first of all, is this. Beware. This is a warning. If I could put it up in big red letters, a warning right there. Don't forget God when your life is good. Don't forget him. When everything's seemingly going your way, in verse number 11, he made it really clear. He says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Don't forget, because he is the Lord your God. And this is not about being absent-minded. It's not about growing old and you forgot the grocery list. It's not about the fact that you went in to put something in the refrigerator and you stuck it in the oven. You know, I think my keys will be found one day in a... Will they? She's not answering me. There are facts about God that we all know. We do. We know those things. We know the stories. We know all the things, facts about him. But do we recognize who he really is? I'm not talking about just facts. You can remember the facts, but you can forget God. You can place God over here out of sight, out of mind, but and still remember. You can play the role of the Christian. You can come to church. You can do all these great things. But in reality, God is not in that. God is not who God wants to be. God wants to be the very one that says, I'm taking you off of autopilot and I'm putting you in manual and you're going to have to function for me. We need that. We need it all the time because we walk around and, you know, just with autopilot on all the time. I'm sure you guys were a couple weeks ago, a guy that got arrested for sitting in the back seat of his car while the car was going down the highway and there was nobody behind the wheel. Yeah. And it was the second time he'd been stopped. This time they took his car. Yeah, they impounded the car. He said, ah, that's no big deal. I'm rich enough. I'll just go buy another one. Yeah, that's what he said. I mean, what kind of guy is that? Can I tell you this? Abundance blunts the edge of God's word to us. We get a lot. The word of God does not cut it. We hear it, but we don't apply it. We don't take it in. We need an awareness of God. That's what we need. You know, it's the ultimate in contradictions. The God that does everything for us and we forget? And we forget him? Who is it that provided this? It was God. Oh, well, I got it from the bank. That bank doesn't exist without God. That money does not flow unless God says it's going to flow. Unless this thing takes place. It's the reason that abundant life so many times makes people walk away from God. You know, he says, how do you say about a rich man entering into the kingdom? Like a camel going through the eye of a needle. You know, it's very descriptive in that regard. But if you've ever been to Israel and you got to see going, trying to get through, that was an extremely narrow area and down about this high. How many camels will go through that? They won't. That's Jesus' point, is that when we get a lot of things, we forget. We forget who we are, how we got it, our hands are full, and now I can't remember. What do you do when your hands are empty? You come crying out to God, don't you? And he's saying, probably want to say to you, if he's like most of us as parents, we just go, well, where were you when I was giving you everything? Why wasn't I speaking to you then? How many years do you have to wander through this world right here? Do I have to bring you to the edge of poverty? Do I have to make you be hungry until you cry out and say, Lord, I recognize you have given me everything. You see, these are the things that we can forget. We forget who did everything for us. History will remark all of those things. We'll go back and we'll see by reading history how God intervened into the lives of men. Do you not understand that God is intervening in the lives of men today? He's doing it right now. He's saying to us all the time, how little we depend upon God when we're healthy. How little do we acknowledge God when you've got a nice home to go to? You've got a good automobile or truck, whatever you want to call it. The bank account's still in the black. And I don't mean your credit cards. How easy it is to forget God. How easy it is to push him aside. One of the great, I call him a prophet. You know, many people just called him a preacher, but I called him a prophet. Leonard Ravenhill, a man that lived here this last year, I mean, in the last 50 years, he died, but he wrote a book, America, You're Too Young to Die. But that's exactly where America is. We have forgotten. We have forgotten the one that gave us everything. And Moses' warning, do not forget God. But not only do not forget God, what is the result if we do forget God? You ever thought about that? Ever been to the woodshed? Yeah. I know that's an old term. Young ones probably don't understand that part, but lest they get daddy all riled up, they take you to the bathroom. No, they probably put you in timeout. I was in timeout a lot of times. They knocked me out. And they deserved everything I got. But the result of forgetting God is an arrogant self-sufficiency. We did it. We control it. We can do it. It's one of those kind of things we talk about. Because our spiritual life has dropped off so far that the needle doesn't even register. I need to hook you up to a battery charger. God needs to do that. And what do we get out of that? We get an arrogant attitude. Like, I'm controller and I'm the doer of that. In verse 14, I'm in Deuteronomy still, chapter 8, verse 14. Then thine heart be lifted up. Thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. How could the children of Israel ever forget how God rescued them from Egypt? How could you ever forget if you got to cross the Red Sea on dry land? How would you ever forget if you're hungry and all of a sudden there's food? They called it manna. Southern Baptists say it's fried chicken. I understand that. We serve it all the time. But these are the things that they were beginning to forget because they, spiritually, they were not growing any, but they were accumulating other things. They were getting cattle. Their sheep, they're doing all the things. All of that, they had gold that the Egyptians had given, passed down through the generations. And now they were trusting in that and not trusting in God. They had completely forgot. And here's what happens when you forget. These are the results of what takes place when you forget. God said, I'll just let you wander a little bit further. Moses, I'm sorry, you disobeyed me. You're not going in. It was God that gave him the water. He didn't have to strike the rock. He said, just point at it, it's going to open up for you. You see, the impossibilities of our lives have been answered by God over and over again. But then we get used to it, and we expect it, and we can't acknowledge who God really is. I think that most of us have had a wilderness experience at some time in our lives. Had a wilderness experience when one time we walked away. God was still here, but we just walked away from him. We went out and spent our lives doing things that did not honor God. We sat there and we talk about all the things that are good for me. And all of a sudden our resources got short. All of a sudden the bank didn't have the money we need. All of a sudden we felt insecure. We felt like God wasn't going to hear us. God wasn't providing. But the reality of it is God said, I haven't changed. You have changed. You quit asking. When things get good, we forget. We forget all the things that God has done. He's the one that sustained us, every one of us. He's the one that's done all those things. But the confession that happens to most of us when we get there is found in verse 17. He says, and thou say in thine heart, my power and my might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Has it? I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how many times you were able to pull something off. When you start talking to yourself, not only you need a psychologist, but you need to understand that you're only talking to the other idiot that's with you. That says what you're talking to. How many of you put on the Christian face but congratulate yourself on how great you've done? Did you study while other people played? Did you do stuff that when other people, you kept your nose to the grindstone and you did all this? I think there's a lot of us that think we did all that wonderful stuff. We want to praise ourselves for our ingenuity. We want to praise ourselves for how we persevered through something. We need to praise ourselves not ever. We ought to be praising him who made all the provisions for us. Outwardly, you know, you may be motivated to praise. You may come in. Who could not praise with the songs we just sang? If you couldn't praise during that time, then something's wrong with your praise button. Because they pointed to only one person, Jesus. And he's the only one that deserves that. You say, well, I'm old, I'm tired. Join the club. I feel that way. At times, And I'm not begin. I can't begin to be at your age, some of you, anyway. I'm not going to be 98 next month. I feel like it at times, but it's not the way it is. Don't forget, when things are good, we need to say, how great thou art, not how good I am. The last thing that I would really like to bring to your attention is there's a chance to recover from this. You know, God is a God of mercy, God of grace. God does things for us. He reconciles us. He brings us to a point that he knows that we will look up to him and our lives will be changed. He brings us to that point because he loves us. Just as the Father loves his children, he's going to do that. He's going to bring us to that place that we need to be. We suffer sometimes from spiritual amnesia. We simply have that in our lives. And God says, I'm going to give you a chance to deliberately seek me. Deliberately. Not by happenstance, not by showing up at church, but because I brought something into your life that God and God alone is the answer. And you're going to seek me out to find me. Look at verse 18. He says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware by thy fathers, as it is this day. It's God that provided. It's God that gave you what you have. I think a great thing to do is sit down and write it out. Where your blessings came from. You ever say, you know, count your blessings, name them one by one. We sing that song. How about writing them down? How about just someday just taking the time in your busy retired schedule to write some of that stuff down? To honor God because God has honored you. To say to everybody that, you know, well, I guess he did. Well, that was a valid admiration, wasn't it, right there? Give that stuff right out. If we could just focus our lives for a moment, I want you to pick anything out that God has not done for you. You say, well, I went to work, and he wasn't there. You went to work, didn't you? Because he was there. He was right there in you the whole time. You see, that is the central message of Deuteronomy. Yes, it was preached to the Israelites. Yes, it was given to the children. All those things. But we need to recognize what Moses recognized. God is the author of our lives. And we need to recognize that. It is God's ability to sustain us, to fulfill us. He is ever faithful. That's who God is. He's always established it. And that's the last part of that verse. He says, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth and that he may establish his covenant. You realize it wasn't just to benefit you. He did it all that we might establish who he is. You might have strength. You may be sick. But even in your sickness, you can give God the glory. Nothing moves people like somebody that doesn't feel worth a flip. And maybe laid up in a hospital, but yet they're still saying, I thank my God that he kept me. I thank the Lord for the goodness he shows me every day. And some people have every reason to cry about it and moan about it. But his blessings have always been results of his promises. The promises that he gave to you. We are not the proven nation. We're not the children of Israel. Don't ever think that America is the new chosen one. We're not. But what we are is a nation that's been blessed by the very fact that God has shined his light upon us. And we have preached it, and we have talked about it, and we still do it. It is God and God alone that keeps his promises. We don't change the circumstances. We don't do anything. He blesses us because he's true to his word. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's true to his word. I'm going to be there. My children aren't going to be suffered to beg bread. I'm going to be there for them. Now, when we recover our memory, when you finally get it back, when it finally dawns on you that God and God alone deserves all the credit, then give him the credit. Give him the credit that he deserves, and that's everything. He is faithful, his word is true, and we have a covenant relationship with him right now. What did he say? What did Moses lay out before it? Went all the way back to the beginning. All the commandments which I commanded thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply. That's what God intended for every one of us. It carried over. Yes, that was a commandment that Moses knew and gave to the children, but it's a commandment that we got from Jesus Christ. He longs for us to do the very same thing. You're not going to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, your word is always true. Our nation has always been blessed. We don't deserve it many times, and even especially in today, we don't acknowledge it. I thank you for a remnant. I thank you for our churches, Christians, real Christians, that may not be perfect, but they love you. They may not have everything in line, but they still love you. And they acknowledge who it is that provides for them. So, Father, today, bless our nation. Bless our leadership. Lord, I have of all things that you'd wake them up to who really is in charge. Lord, wake them up to see that because of your goodness and your mercy, they even have a nation. Lord, help us to awaken out of our lethargy for your sake, that our nation might live, that we might honor this flag, we might sing those songs of praises. We honor our nation today. We thank you for its independence. We thank you for what you have given us on the 4th of July. But we thank you and you alone for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.